Blog Talk Radio.
The LaRusha Cain Show.
Well, hello, beautifuls, and thank you for tuning in to the LaRusha Cain Show. I am excited to be with you. Yes, I am. As always, I have my tea. I hope that you have your tea, your coffee, or your favorite beverage as we sit back and chat. Well, today on the LaRusha Cain Show on Living Out Loud broadcast, we have a phenomenal co-host. Now, I know that you're thinking, she always says that she has a phenomenal co-host, and it's because I always do. I always have someone that's inspiring, encouraging, motivating, thought-provoking, that will meet you where you are and share with you some tips, some tools, some nuggets, something that will help you to move forward in life, something that you can apply on a daily basis. So before I begin to tell you about our co-host, I ask that you would share this broadcast on your social media platforms, share it with your Facebook family and friends, your Instagram buddies, your Twitter, your Tweeples, and let them know it's going down today on the LaRusha Cain Show. I'm excited. We have Star M. Holmes Word. I'm telling you, doesn't that name just sound phenomenal? She's going to come on live and share with us some great information about overcoming domestic violence. Yes. Overcoming domestic violence. So, you know, if you know someone that has gone through or is currently experiencing domestic violence, you want to hit them up and let them know that they want to listen to the show. This is the show that they need to listen to. Now, Star Holmes Word, she's in her virtual green room. She's drinking her tea, eating her virtual popcorn, and listening to some beautiful, relaxing jazz music. I'm telling you, she's soaking it all in. She's excited. She's ready to share with us great information, some life-changing information, some transformative information that's going to help us to move forward. Let me just give you a little bit of information about Star M. Holmes Word. She is a personal development coach, public speaker, and writer. Star assists women who are wanting to transition from career or life pauses to entrepreneurship, using innovative methods to monetize their platform. I tell you, that's just a little bit about her. And she's going to share with us some other great information about her. So again, if you haven't hit your friends up, you might want to do it now. Hint, hint, wink, wink, because it's going down. But I'm not going to prolong it. I'm just excited. I need to bring her on right now so that we can talk about overcoming domestic violence. Hello, Star.
Hello, Russia. Thank you for having me on today. I am excited to be here and to be able to share on your platform. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
How are you today?
Thank you. I am doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful.
Awesome.
I'm just glad to have you. I'm glad that you said yes and that you're willing to talk about something that so many people will not share. They go through life not being able to even verbalize. They won't tell family and friends and different people what they have gone through. But before we do that, before we jump right into the topic of conversation for today, which is overcoming domestic violence, what I want to do is ask you five questions. You know, one day I was at the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the movies with my husband and a few of my girlfriends. And, you know, we went to see that movie called Top Five, the one Chris Rock is in. And he was in a room full of people, and he began to ask them, what is your, or who is your top five all-time best rappers? And they went through their list. And so kind of inspired me. So I thought I would just ask these great five icebreaker questions. And no, it's not about rap. or any kind of nothing like that. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to jump into number one, if you don't mind. Are you ready to play
Sounds
with me?
Good. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Question number one. If you could be anything or anyone in this world, who or what would it be and why?
That's a great question. I don't think that I would choose to be anyone except myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I could be anything, maybe the word, maybe the Bible.
Mm.
Because of the great history and how much knowledge I would have. Like, nothing is new under the sun, as the word says. And so I would have all the answers for all of the problems that we face in our world. So I think I would say the Bible.
You know, that is a great answer.
That was a great question.
You know, thank you. I'm telling you, because it, like you said, we would have the answers to all life issues, problems, situations. But could you imagine how many people that would seek you out for that information, too?
That's just it. Yes, that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you seek me out how I am now, I mean, I have all the answers to the questions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if I was the verbal Bible, then you could ask me and we could actually sit down and have a conversation because all the answers are there. You just have to seek them out. Right? Awesome.
Yes. So, listening audience, I don't know who needed to hear that, but she just gave you the answer. It's in the Word.
That's
all you have to do is search
it
out.
The Word.
It's already there.
That's right.
All you have to do is take time to open up your Bible or pull it up on your phone or your tablet or however you read it and find it, search it out, and then apply it to your life.
That's
right.
Right. Amen to that.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
I'm excited. Number two. I'm excited.
I'm scared of
Share with us.
Good questions, girl. Okay.
Love it. Number two, share with us the name of the best book you have ever read. Ever.
What is the best book? You know, I think that I really love I Know Why the Caged Bird Sing by Maya Angelou. And I probably love it a lot because it resonates with me, the things that happened to her as a child. And I just thought, how phenomenal is it that that young lady could actually have enough control of herself to not speak for such a period of time and then discover through the teacher that helped her that her voice is pivotal in the production of the rest of her life.
Mm.
And so I love that book. I really do.
Yeah.
And so she found her voice again. And I don't even want to imagine, you know, my world without the voice of Maya Angelou.
Yes.
So I'd have to say, I know why the caged bird sing.
That's a beautiful answer. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that
You're
with
welcome.
Us. Whew. Okay. Number three.
All right.
If you could have superpower, power would you possess?
Ooh, if I could have a superpower, I think the superpower that I would want would be to help people laugh more.
Mm.
And I say that because I tease myself and say that I don't know how to tell a good joke. I'm not a real joke teller. But I love to laugh and I love to have fun. But I would learn how to tell a joke. I'd be the one who would make people, you know, laugh and smile and, you know, just enjoy life more. I think sometimes we get, because life is so serious, and those of us who are focused on being a part of the solution rather than the problem, we can sometimes be very serious for long stretches, and we forget sometimes that we have to let our hair down and we have to laugh and we have to enjoy the life that God has given us as well. So that's who I would be. I'd be somebody who would make people laugh more.
Love, 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 love it. And the reason why I said it that way is because I can't tell a joke if my life depended on it. I'm funny.
You know what? I'm sorry for you, but I'm glad that I'm not by myself.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
you know, my husband
yes.
says, you're funny when you get in front of an audience or, you know, when you're doing certain things. But at home,
mm-hmm.
when I'm just talking and I'm trying to crack a joke, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just say it wrong.
I never
doesn't come out
that.
Right.
No, that's
you
me.
Know what? It's very important what you said about us that are so serious, you know, and being a part of the problem. I mean, being a part of the solution and not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes we don't know how to relax. We don't know how to take a chill pill. We don't know how to let our hair down and just enjoy, just be in the moment.
Yes.
And so I
in
thank you. For sharing
You're
that.
You're welcome.
That your superpower
Absolutely.
Would be to help people to laugh. Because you know what? Laughter is good medicine. It's really good medicine.
It
and we need to do
really
more
good
of that.
Medicine. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right.
Absolutely.
Listening audience, today, find
All
something
right.
to laugh about because it is
That's
good
right.
for you. Good for you. All right, number four. Ooh. If your life was a movie, what would be the name of that movie?
Oh, you would ask me about movies. I'm so not the movie buff. I don't know the name of movies to save my life. But I would have to say the movie Happy Feet. Because I remember my husband, my husband and I took the children to see Happy Feet when it came out. And I remember all of the dancing that the penguins did and all of the music that was in the movie. And so I really enjoyed that part of it because I love music and I really enjoyed that part of it. So I would want to say Happy Feet because I want to be happy. You know, I strive to be happy, even though, like I said, we're so serious in the work that we do. But there has to be some kind of happiness. You got to wait, you know, ride that wave of happiness as well. You cannot always be involved in just the trauma of what is happening.
Mm.
So you have to know how to find those happy places and then sit there, resonate with it, and enjoy it. Because there's enough serious stuff going on.
Yes. But, you know, that
right?
ties into the last one when you said about laughter. You know, and I love Happy Feet. I mean, I'm sorry, listening audience. I love Happy Feet. Them little penguins made me happy. And you know, I'll watch it with or without children. So it's just, I love that in Lion King. But I
Ooh,
can hear my husband
Lion
saying,
too.
Don't forget Lamb Before Time. You know, can't forget Lamb Before Time.
Amen.
But laughter is good. And you said
yes,
it.
Ma'am.
But what we do, you know, mm-hmm. things can be so serious. We're always dealing with the trauma of everything.
That's
and
right.
We have to put pause, push pause, and live our lives and just exist, you know, be in the moment, you know, smell the
yeah.
the air, the roses, whatever.
Yeah.
Do something that will make
yeah.
you happy. All righty.
Yes,
last
ma'am.
Question. Last question.
You got it.
Now, this one might be tough. I'm not sure. Using only one word. What word describes Star M. Holmes' word? One word.
Let me think here. I don't know that I have thought of that. One word that describes me. I guess one word that I would use that a descriptive word for myself, that is stumpered. That is really hard. It really is. I really cannot think of a word that would describe me personally in one mm-hmm. word. That is so hard. Maybe I could use the word better. I like to think of myself always evolving to a better place than where I was yesterday. So I would have to say the word better.
Love it.
I would have to say the word better. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good word. You know, always striving to be better than we were the day before,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a hard question.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was sitting here and I was writing the questions down and that one came to me, I said, Lord, in one word.
Right?
Okay.
It really
you
makes
know,
you
know,
you
could say in a sentence or a paragraph, but
mm-hmm.
one word. One
yeah,
word.
I say better.
Better. That's a phenomenal word, better. And if we strive every day to be better than what we were
yep.
the day before.
We won't be perfect. But
no.
we can strive to be better, right?
Yes, and leaving yesterday's stuff in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because and what I mean by that is, and I'm not talking about past traumas and things of that nature. I'm just talking about sometimes we're so busy reflecting on what we didn't do yesterday and how we didn't perform right or we didn't do X, Y, and Z
absolutely.
That we can't even live in this moment and embrace this time that we have, this time
right.
of season, and all the beautiful things, all the lessons, all the wisdom and everything that is around us that God has created,
yes.
you know, this beautiful place. We can't even enjoy
mm-hmm.
it because we're so focused on, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. And we have to
that's
stop.
Right.
So
yep,
better.
So focus on the better. Yeah.
Yes. Every day, you said it, we won't be perfect, but we can be better. And
yes,
man,
ma'am.
On that one. Woo!
Yes,
alrighty.
Ma'am.
We're going to jump into
that was fun. It was hard, but it was fun.
You know,
yes, ma'am.
Those questions right there, you know, every time someone comes on the show, I have different questions that's basically tailored towards them and for them specifically.
It.
And so I just wanted, audience, to get to know you in a different way outside of the topic.
I love
it. And you
that was
did
awesome.
It so beautiful. And you explained
thanks so much for
very
that.
Well. And I appreciate the fact that you played along, you know, because sometimes people are so,
oh, yeah, great.
You know, shut down. I don't want to say rigid, but you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to say? Shut
mm-hmm.
down.
Yeah.
That they can't. And you told us something about yourself that it really just touched my heart. You want to laugh more. Learn to laugh more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I
absolutely,
and you said because we take things so serious and we're constantly, you know, working or doing whatever it is that we have to do with mothers and wives and
yes,
all
ma'am.
Kinds of things we have going on that are so serious. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just learning to pause. And to laugh.
That's it.
And to be.
Yes.
And to give ourselves
makes
permission. Yeah, just
yep,
to
it
be.
Makes a difference. Yep.
Oh,
it absolutely makes a difference.
you know, I'm going to jump in our first question because I, you know, this question right here, you know, so many people will describe it in so many different ways and, mm-hmm. you know, put their own tag on it. But I would like to ask you, because we're talking about overcoming domestic violence, what is domestic violence?
Very good question. So when I think of domestic violence, we know that domestic violence, or you may not know, and if you don't, it is truly about power and control. Mm. And so it is any type of violence that is directed at another individual, whether it is physical, psychological, sexual, whether it is emotional or financial. Period. That is domestic violence. Mm. So it could be under any of those.
You know, I think because in the time in which, in the time in which I was born and raised, you know, we only looked at mm-hmm. domestic violence as an abuse. Somebody hit somebody or slapped somebody, you know, those things. But mm-hmm. never in a million years would I have guessed mm-hmm. or thought all of that was a part of domestic violence.
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, the psychological warfare in domestic violence between someone who is abusive and someone who they are victimizing, it really is almost worse than the physical act of hitting, punching, et cetera, because the psychological and emotional trauma that happens lasts so much longer
mm-hmm.
and takes so many more steps to do the work to heal from that. You know, whereas the bruises eventually, they go away and you don't see the bruises anymore. Your body stops hurting. Your body stops aching. But the psychological part that is done that no one can see, that lasts a whole lot longer.
You know, you just tapped into something that I was going, or touched on something that I was getting ready to ask you. How does domestic violence affect our community?
You know, there are some stats that I wanted to share with your audience today. According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, on average now, nearly 20 people are physically abused by an intimate partner in the U.S. per minute. That's 1 in 3 women, 1 in 4 men, 10 million people a year. 10 million people a year. And I don't know that people really pay attention to the numbers. Or have we become desensitized to understanding what is happening? Domestic violence is an epidemic in our country. This is not a subject of lighthearted matter. This is an epidemic in our communities. And it has come to the point where you almost don't even hear about it through the programs in your community any longer. But it's an epidemic. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have suffered some type of physical abuse and have called a domestic violence hotline. 20,000 calls are made every year.
Oh, shit.
It's sad.
Yes.
Women between the ages of 18 and 24 are the highest that are at risk, according to 5 and 34. And then now we also know that elder abuse falls under domestic violence because, you know, there are different terminologies as well within the community. One term you'll hear is domestic violence. Another one you might hear is intimate partner violence. So domestic violence can encompass anyone, whether it's an intimate partner, whether it's a family member, whether it is a friend, you know, a domestic situation. Intimate partner violence being just that, your intimate partner. Mm-hmm. So that's something else that you should know. And also the children, you know, that are exposed to domestic violence, which we don't talk about that much. But
yes.
The statistics show that 1 in 15 children are exposed to DV each year. 90% of those children are actual witnesses of the violence. That's a huge number.
Yes.
With a huge impact. Because,
yes.
you know, all of the research is not done. How is this impacting the children, you know, in their growth? They're being traumatized.
Yes.
And then not only are they being traumatized, are they seeking help for the children? Because sometimes the women get caught up in the violence for a period of time where they're, remember, their psychological psyche has been traumatized, and then so has their child. So sometimes the impact takes so many years to address. And so we see the behaviors of the women sometimes because they've been victimized, or of, you know, men, because men are also victims of domestic violence, and they're starting to do more research now, you know, and sharing more of that with us in the statistics that men are also victims of domestic violence in different relationships.
Yes.
You know, it's phenomenal what is going on. It's crazy that we don't have the funding anymore. Funding has dried up so much in the domestic violence community. And that's why we rarely see programs and things. The shelters are closing.
Yes.
They're deciding to allocate the funds, you know, somewhere else, because they don't really have the funds to continue for the shelters to stay open and continue to service women, especially women that have been multi times victimized by an abuser. But those that are multi times victimized by an abuser, people always say, and I hear this so many times, like, you know, why don't they leave? Why do they stay? Well, there are so many reasons why. You know, I think it's just a small percentage of people that really stay, and they're not going anywhere. They haven't tried to go anywhere. That's not the greater percentage.
Exactly.
The most of the time, people try to leave. Statistics show us that it takes at least 7 times of trying to leave an abusive person before that person is either able to leave safely or they are killed. Because the time that they leave, the most dangerous time for a victim of DV.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something that I wanted to share with you is, why don't they leave? Because 60% of them lose their jobs because of reasons connected to them being a victim of domestic violence. The workplace doesn't want to have to deal with that. They're also afraid that the abuser might come into the workplace and cause problems. So a lot of times the women lose their jobs. You know what I mean? And in between 2003 and 2008, 142 women were killed in the U.S. At the workplace by their abuser. So when you see people that are scared, they have a reason to be afraid.
Yes. Yes.
They also suffer from things like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
Anxiety.
Yes.
And then we have to remember this too. They don't leave sometimes because the abusive person is very tactical in how they abuse. They use brainwashing techniques.
Yes.
They manipulate them. They, you know, they get to the point where they're where they weaken the victim's mind. Things like what we call in the business now, gaslighting. Yes. This is really psychological abuse.
Yes,
so I'll
is.
Tell you a quick story of a woman who I know this was used on. Because I've been in this business since 2005 as a victim advocate.
Okay.
A woman we spoke to experienced this. She thought she was going crazy, she said, because she had been experiencing things like she put something someplace and it was moved. And so she thought she was going crazy. Like, did I put my keys over here? And now my keys are in my purse. You know, little things like that. Those are psychological warfare tactics that are used
yes.
by abusers. The woman's hair
yes.
was being cut little by little by little. So when she would be in the mirror combing her hair, the woman thought she was literally going crazy. Is something going on with my hair? And her abuser would say, no, nothing's going on with your hair. It looks the same as it always did. Those are the kinds of little psychological things that happen. And millions more things that we never experience looking, you know, as an outsider looking at the victim and what they are experiencing. And sometimes they can't even explain what psychological things they're experiencing.
Yes. Yes.
So to many, many women who have experienced that, they think they're going crazy. So let me tell you, ladies, if you're listening and you are experiencing that, you are not crazy. There, we
Thank
put a name
you.
To it. It's called gaslighting. That's what's happening
yes,
to some women. They have no idea what is happening.
You know, you said...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you said so much, and you said a lot, and it's great information. And I just want to go back and come forward, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about the men, and people do not realize that men can be abused, that they can be domestic violence victims. And, you know, I remember I was sharing this with someone. We were talking, and it was a man. And I was talking about how men are abused. And he was like, what? Like, he was shocked. And he's like, what is he going to do, call the police and tell him his woman beat him? It was so, it was so negative, you know, and judgmental what was being said. And this is why a lot of them don't come forward because, you know, what
right.
support? What support? And then you were talking about the children and them being affected and affected, you know, in the home and how it stunts their growth and
that's
all
right.
of that. And how, the, you know, and I have a girlfriend who was pretty much raised in shelters because her mother was schizophrenic. And so, therefore, you know, she lived on Skid Row up in L.A. And a lot of these places, all of these shelters, like you said, they're losing funding. They're closing down.
Yep.
There's no resources for them. And it just made me think when you were talking about domestic violence, how when I was younger, you know, growing up, I never put it as domestic violence, but I saw a lot of violence. And, you know, people in my family beating, you know, other people. And my mother was a victim and my grandmother was a victim of domestic violence. And, you know, I grew up with this mindset. I'm not going to allow this to happen to me.
That's
not knowing that it already has shaped my world, you know. And
it
already had had its effect and effect on my life because I was experiencing, like you said, post-traumatic stress disorder. So I would shut down or be anxious or whatever, not knowing that, just, you know, a little nervous or I'm just a little whatever, not knowing that that really did do something to me. And so
it's being in that residue.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I remember, I think I was about 19 years old. I got into a relationship with this guy. You know how he just, it's charming. They're charming. They're loving. All these
Absolutely.
Things. But all these little signs started coming. And I was just like, oh, that's nothing. Oh, that's nothing. You know, it's like, why you have that on? Where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you talking to? You know, little things. Then it went to grabbing my arm, twisting my wrist. You know, things of that nature. And you talked about how when you try to leave, that's when it becomes the most dangerous. And I remember coming home. I broke up with him, moved me to my own place. And I had our son, and I was walking through the front door, and, you know, he didn't live with me, and I'm sharing this because, you know, I hadn't been home indeed. I was at my mom's house, so my mother was like, you might want to check your mailbox. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I need to go home and see what's going on. Walked in my house. This man was sitting there in a chair, had broken my house, sitting there in a chair with a gun, handcuffed and a stick. And he was clearly altered. He was high. But he had fallen asleep, mm-hmm. So I'm holding our baby, and I come in, and I'm like, what are you doing in my house? Why are you here? Why do you keep breaking in?
Right.
And he said to me, if you would have came in this house with another man, I was going to kill you and him and take our kid and leave. And it got real, real fast for me. It was like, oh, my God, you know. And I remember the fear I had, the paranoia, that I had, you know, and because I had been around so many people that had been abused. It was like, oh, girl, just stay there. Oh, it'll pass. One day you're going to look back and laugh on it. I don't see nothing funny about it, you know. And
nothing
you have
is
to
funny
do.
About it.
Exactly. And, you know, and it was at the time where, before Nicole Brown Simpson had got tragically killed. So the laws and things were a little bit more weaker, you know? Allegedly. I was like, allegedly. And so things were done. Like when the police came, it was like, oh, well, if he comes over, call us. Oh, well, you know. And everybody kept saying, well, she's going to go back. His mother said I would go back.
Yeah.
My mother said I would go back because they were abused. But I decided not to go back regardless of the risk, and I knew it was going to cost me some things, but I didn't want my son to grow up in that environment. I didn't want my son to see that and then model that too as well. So I thank you for sharing that because we forget the silent victims, you know, the children and, you know, those that can't speak for themselves, the elderly, we forget those.
That's
right. So I just want to say thank you for sharing that with us because it paints a picture that is just not a woman's issue. You know, it's not just a particular ethnicity or a particular socioeconomic status, but it's a problem. Our nation.
It has infested our nation. Absolutely. It has. Mm-hmm. And people say, you know, well, another thing about why do you say, because another thing that I always explain to people is this. I know it doesn't make sense maybe to you about why someone stays. But remember this. When you love someone, you want to see the best for them, even though they're an abusive person. You want to see the best for them. You want to see them get help. You want to see them get better. You don't want to have to break up your home or your marriage, your relationship. You don't want to see them go to jail. You want to see them get better. And so a lot of times people often think, if I love them harder, that they can get better. I've even heard, you know, I'm a Christian, so I've heard the conversation in the Christian realm. You know, you stay with your husband, you don't leave. And I'm not advocating for people to leave their spouses. But what I am advocating on personally, this is my view, that if someone is abusive, that there may need to be a time of separation.
Yes.
Because the abusive party needs to be able to examine themselves and get some help if they want to get help to get better. Because you can get better, but you have to do the work. And the work is not usually going to be done when you're together. Mm-hmm. And the other thing in domestic violence advocacy, we do not advocate for couples to get counseling together if there is domestic violence. We advocate for separate counseling. When the police are called, we advocate for the police to take the woman separately outside of the room from the abuser to ask the question. They're afraid. They're not always going to speak in front of their abuser. Because remember, if they get back together or the police don't take him, then that is used against her.
Yes.
So there's so many complex things about it. And another thing I want to touch on real quick, because we oftentimes forget that people that are being abused use what we call coping skills.
Yeah,
they learn how to cope around their abusers. Sometimes when there is something called the cycle of violence. And the cycle of violence shows us how the relationship can go from the honeymoon period to the build-up period to the actual explosion of another violent attack.
Mm.
And what the woman or the victim does during these times. And sometimes they have learned to use certain coping skills, especially when there's children involved. They learn to use certain coping skills to help navigate this really bad negative situation as it is. For instance, say that child's birthday is coming up and they're planning a family birthday party, but within the spectrum that I just talked about, the woman realizes that, oh, we're kind of at the point where he's starting to be very antsy. I'm very nervous that something's going to happen. Sometimes they use a coping skill that allows them to do something where the blow up happens just before the holiday. You know why? Before that party, just before that holiday, so that they can be going through the honeymoon phase during the holiday, during the birthday party. Let me tell you, it's a lot involved when you're thinking about domestic violence and the coping skills that, you know, women have learned. And they're not all good. It's drinking. Sometimes it's drugs because they're using it to numb themselves. I worked with women who were running from their abusers, and they would get a job in one town trying to take care of themselves while they're running from their abuser. And they'd come to work sometimes, and they'd be a little lit. You know, they'd had a little nip.
Yes.
And so the job couldn't understand why. And as an advocate, I would go to the job sometime and say to the employer, look, one of the coping skills of someone who's being chased and who is victimized is that they have to be able to find the courage to go on every day. And sometimes their abusive individual finds them and they're raped. This has happened to many women that I've worked with. So they're just trying to cope with the pain.
Yes.
It's a whole lot more than what people sometimes know. If you haven't ever gone through what victims and survivors go through.
Well, you know, I have a question because we're talking about overcoming it. How?
Yes.
Now I'm speaking for the person that's going or have gone through it and still dealing with the residual effect of it. What can they do? What would you recommend them to do to continue or to start the healing process?
Where do you start? Where do you start? So where you start is, first of all, the person needs to, if they've gotten out of the situation, you know, but first, before even getting out, let's talk about safety planning, because safety planning is
exactly.
Okay. So let's plan for safety. And some of the ways that you can do that, you can do it on your own, or you could do it using, you know, the National Domestic Violence Hotlines. There are a lot of different hotlines that you can use, and I'll share that number. Matter of fact, the National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 800-799-7233, and they have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week individuals who answer those lines that can help you with safety planning, because there are some particular things that need to happen in terms of safety planning to get away. Something I always like to tell people is, be careful not to use your computer because it can be tracked. Be careful not to use your cell phone number because it can be tracked via GPS. Mm-hmm. That is how some women that I have worked with before have been tracked over and over again. But your local domestic violence programs or the national program can also provide you with what we call a 911 phone. A 911 phone means that you can get 911 on the phone if you have the charger and you plug it up and you keep it with enough battery life so that if something happens, you can get to that 911 phone and you can call 911. Can't use it for a phone service, but you can only call 911. So that's important to know. And a lot of the domestic violence programs throughout communities do have those available. Also, if you are a person who wants to help, please take your old cell phones to the programs, the domestic violence programs, as a 911 phone with a phone and a charger so that you can be able to get involved and help someone.
Great information.
Another thing, another thing is if you know someone that's in a rural area, check on them.
stop by once in a while, just pop in and do it, you know, just do a check on them, because those in rural areas, it is not easy for them to get away at all. It's very difficult because they're in a rural area. So that's another thing. If you have a loved one that's in a rural area, just stop by sometime and check on them, because domestic violence victims are oftentimes isolated, and that's intentional.
Yes.
That's not by mistake.
Yes.
That's intentional. Yes. So other things that you can do to help, I would say if you are a victim of domestic violence, find out through asking the librarian, through the National Domestic Violence Hotline, find out where there are domestic violence advocates in your area that you can talk. What happens sometimes is if you're able to make it to their office, if you have copies of your most important documents, the deed to your home, social security cards for you and the children, your driver's license, a copy of that, anything that you have that you can, it will help you verify who you are, you can leave those documents with your domestic violence advocate in your file. So that's something important to know as well, in terms of, you know, having an extra set of clothing. If it's bad,
yes,
you know that you might have to flee without anything. Set these things up beforehand. You know, leave an extra set of clothes for you and the kids. Leave what you can at a friend's house that you trust. Also, if you are a victim and you have neighbors that you're friendly with, have a code, a light code. You see me flicking the light on and off at the back porch, you know to call 911.
Yes.
That's another thing. So just trying to put a safety plan in place is important.
Yes.
And, you know, doing the best you can. What we have to understand as people on the outside looking in is we cannot force people to move the way that we want them to move. But we can provide unjudgmental support, meaning we don't say to them, you getting what you deserve. You should have left a long time ago. You stupid for saying. We don't say that. We don't do that. That is not what is helpful. But what is helpful is to say, if you need me, call me. If you need to run away, I'm a safe place for you to go.
Yes.
Those are the things.
I'm glad you said all of that, because you do need a plan of action on how to get out, how, you know, exit strategy, so to speak. And, you know, a lot of times people don't know where to start. So you just gave us that information. But, what I'm about to say, somebody might be offended, but oh well. I wish that our churches, and, you know, our other faith-based community, you know, they talk, we have it in our on our jobs and different, in, you know, different places. Even when we go to the doctor, they have pamphlets and everything. Why doesn't the church have a plan for people that are being, going to DV?
I have to say some churches do have a plan. And they may not make it known. So ask your clergy at your church if they have a plan. And if they don't, then that is one of the opportunities for people like myself to come in, speak, teach, do workshops to teach the church. How can you be more instrumental in assisting victim survivors of domestic violence within the church realm? And we need to be able to do more of that.
I'm glad that you said that. So, listening audience, if you're listening, okay, if you know that you are a pastor, your ministry leader, women's ministry leader, youth ministry leader, whatever, this is something, and you don't have it in your church, and this is an epidemic that is infecting and infesting and has affected our community, then you would want to find a domestic violence advocate. Star Holmes Ward. She is a domestic violence advocate. Contact her, you know, bring her in so that she can share with you and your congregation on domestic violence, you know, what it is. Because like I said earlier, we didn't, you know, a lot of people didn't even know it's psychological, emotional abuse, financial abuse, and on. They just thought if you get hit, that's all it is.
That's right.
So much more. Been
so
that.
Much more.
So I thank you for sharing that. So for the people that are going through it and are, you know, are dealing with the residual effects of it, what should they do? to continue their process,
you know,
of healing.
I am a true advocate of receiving counseling, and it's up to the individual what type of counseling. But I have seen that there are, you know, some brick and mortar programs, social service programs that provide counseling. Again, a great trained advocate can absolutely assist you through the process of healing. Also, there are some churches that provide Christian counseling that work with people through the process as well, and use biblical platform to assist with the healing and the spiritual healing to help you feel and be whole again. So I'm an advocate of counseling. I really am.
I thank you for sharing that, because a lot of people that I meet, they are not receptive to, you know, seeing someone. And they'll say, I can't go see someone because, you know, they give you all 15,000 excuses. Why? But I'm glad that you say, see somebody, talk to someone.
Yep.
Talk to your pastor.
And
get
let
help.
Me just say this, too. These days, there are even more means. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, for instance, they have it where some people don't feel comfortable going to a brick and mortar. That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
You can call
mm-hmm.
and talk to someone over the phone. You can do your safety planning. You can do, you know, your implementation of your healing journey with them. There's so much that you can do now because of the World Wide Web and how we communicate and how we're all connected now, that you don't have to go to the building. There are text programs now where you can text with your advocate back and forth.
Yes.
The only thing we need to make sure is that you are on a safe phone to be able to do that. Cannot leave without saying is that if you have been a victim, please, if you're able to have a journal and keep it in a safe place, journal what is happening to you, and make sure that when you're journaling, you are not scribing in a way of how you wish things would go or how you think things will go. If this or if that, please journal exactly about what is happening, dates, times, even if you can, because those journals can and have been used in a court of law as a legal document.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you. And thank
Absolutely.
You for explaining how to do it, and not your personal feelings and emotions.
That's right.
But facts. Because it does help when you go to court, or unfortunately, if something was to happen to you, there's a ledger. There's something that said, hey, this
That's
is what's
right.
been going on. And you want people
Absolutely.
To be able to know what you've gone through. You want the courts to be able to know what you've gone through. And if by chance they get kidnapped or something, and somebody find that they can find, they know this is what's been going on, and they know what to do. They know how to
or
move
if they have to go to court because they are getting a divorce. It, you know,
yes.
that it becomes very ugly a lot of times. And sometimes when the breadwinner is the person who is the abuser, they're able to really kind of make themselves, because remember, they're very, very, let me think what word I can use. They're very, very sly and cunning, if you will. And they really know how to make their community and other people look at them as though they're great individuals. So it couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's something to pay attention to.
Yeah. It's always a great thing to be able to write down exactly what's going on. Because like you said, you know, the person, 9 times out of 10, the person that is the abuser, people would never think.
Mm-hmm.
Not that person.
That's right. You would never think.
They're so
That's
sweet.
Right.
They're so kind.
Yep.
They're this, that, you know. And
mm-hmm.
you're in, and what they'll try to do is paint you to be the crazy person, the whatever.
Absolutely.
And they are the angel. And so it's very
Absolutely.
Imperative that we do that. And I'm so grateful that you shared that information with us.
My pleasure.
At this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to give us your contact information for someone that's sitting there and saying, I need to talk to her.
Absolutely.
I need to bring her in, or I just want someone to talk to you. Can you share with them your contact information?
I most certainly can. So a couple different things. If you would like me to come and speak, or you have some questions and you just want to have a conversation about creating a program, please reach out to me. My email address is youra2, and I'm going to spell it out. It's YORASTARTOO
LaRushaKaneShow@gmail.com. That's where you can reach me via email. And also, I am an administrator of a support group on Facebook called CCOC for DV. And you have to connect with me on Facebook on my profile page because it's a secret group that people cannot get in without directly contacting me, and then I can place someone in the group. So if you're considering that, please reach out to me, let me know, and I'll automatically place you inside of the group. It is a support group. It's called Cultivating Clarity in Our Community for Domestic Violence. We're very active. We talk with the women all the time, provide resources when we're able to. And so that is another thing. If you are looking for support, become a part of a DV support group as well. And one more thing, we have a area. I have partnered with Melissa Holmes, who is known in the New York area for her fight with domestic violence advocacy and awareness. She does a program called Love Shouldn't Hurt out of the New York area. She's coming with me to Nashville on September the 8th, 2018, and we're having a DV conference to talk about domestic violence. A lot of places still don't talk. They still don't talk about it. People are still uncomfortable in talking about it.
Well, thank you so much. For those that are wanting to go to the event, she gave you the information. Those that are, just connect with her on Facebook if you want to be part of her community. If you want her to come and speak at your women's events or just your church events or your business, whatever, please, it is imperative that you not, if you can't get her because she's not in your area or you can't afford to bring her in, there is someone in your area.
Absolutely.
Please just reach out. Don't sit there quietly and just think it's just going to go away. It's just going to go away. It's not going to happen again. Well, that's not true. It's going to happen again. Get help. Seek help, you know. So I want to ask you some information because I've heard. The little birdie told me. That there's a book in the making, an anthology
oh,
in the making.
Yes. Oh yes, yes. Inaugural book. Thank you. Yes, I'm so excited about that. I am the lead author on an anthology with 10 other brilliant women. We are going to tell our story. The title of the book is called "We Are Women of Substance," and we're answering the question: how did you become a woman of substance? And so excited to share that. The book is launching in June, in the Nashville area. So that's where the book launch will be. And you'll be able to get tickets on Eventbrite if you would like to join us for the book launch. But, yes, I'm extremely excited to share that book with everyone.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, the little birdie just tapped me on my shoulder and said, hey, she has a project
in the
making.
I said, thank you.
Yes, definitely.
I'm so excited about it. So excited about that.
And also,
I have to say, the DV group, CCOC for DV, we are also launching an anthology in May. We will begin our project. So that's another thing. If you are interested in telling your story and becoming a survivor of domestic violence, connect with me and form to tell your story of how you made it to safety from being victimized.
Love that. For those, now, you just heard what she said. She's writing, doing an anthology. Come on, let's get on board. Let's tell our story. Put a voice to it.
So excited.
Because there's so many people that have survived it and may not have a platform or, you know, may not know who they can talk to. So this is a great way of being able to share their story with other survivors. So I'm excited.
Absolutely.
Thank you for
sharing that with us, Larissa.
You're welcome. I have one more thing. Yeah, because another little, you know, same birdie is just chirping and chirping. I heard that you are with A. Perel.
Oh,
and
there's
an event coming up.
Yes,
and I'm
thank
like,
you for
wait
letting
a minute.
Me talk about it. I appreciate that. So, Master Coach April Hunt has invited me to become an ambassador, brand ambassador, for her conference coming up in April. in the Atlanta, Georgia area called Spark and Hustle. I'm extremely excited about this conference because in 2017 in March, I attended her Epicon conference. This year is called Spark and Hustle, and it is a business conference, and you don't want to miss it. If you are a coach, a speaker, if you are a creator of programs, you want to be there. On April 12th is the where you're going to be like in a classroom for some hours, and you're going to receive like a month's work worth of information crammed in one day. Your brain's going to hurt when you get done. That's how great Mastermind Day is. The 13th and 14th are the general session days. And so go to sparkandhustle.events.com or come to my page where you can get the deal, $150 off your ticket price if you use the code Powerhouse. Thank you so much for letting me talk about Spark and Hustle because I'm so excited. Meet me in the ATL.
Oh, I am excited for you. I'm excited.
Yes.
Oh, little bird
so
just
much.
Be over here talking,
thank
talking.
So I'm
and
telling
I,
you.
You know, because what I heard. Now, this is a word that, you know, because you said when you went, your life changed. And I think
it
sometimes
did.
When, you know, we're having events and we're doing things and we don't really talk about how our lives changed and what happened and where we were at and what we're doing now. So I'm glad that you shared that. That's where you got your help and you brought out the year. So it must have been something very pivotal, something that was very transformational. And I'm just glad and I look forward to all your endeavors. You have to come back and share with us
thank
the anthology
so
and all the other great things that you are doing because you're truly phenomenal and you're changing lives. So,
thank you,
community.
Thank you.
All right. One
listen,
more
thing I should tell you. I have a group on Facebook. It's a women's empowerment group. You are welcome. Women are welcome to come into the group. We are so active. We love on each other. We help each other. We push each other. And it's called Purpose Path 365 on Facebook. And you are welcome to join us if you want to be a part of this women's empowerment movement.
Come on, ladies.
Yes.
Come on, let's get empowered. Let's get empowered. We are empowered to empower. So come on.
That's
we
right.
We can share with others
that's
and
right.
encourage and inspire and motivate
yes.
And push and uplift
that's
one
right.
another.
That's
and
right.
that for us, too, as well. So, ladies, just go ahead and just let your fingers just scroll right over there to Facebook and connect with Star M Home.
Yeah, join us. You are welcome. You are welcome to come and join us. Thank you so much, Larissa.
Yes.
I really appreciate you being here today.
I appreciated having you. I did. And I thank you again. And again, you're always welcome to come back on the Larissa King Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Continue to have a great day. And I'm looking forward to the great things that are to come for you.
Thanks so much, and thank you for having me,
yeah.
and good luck in all of your wonderful endeavors as well, and welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Have
thank
a great
you,
day. Yes.
You too.
Well, listening audience, I'm telling you, were you excited? Did you get some information that made you just go, I'm telling you, we received a lot of information today, and we learned that domestic violence isn't just a women's thing. I know we've heard that, but it's not. And she broke down all the ways a person can be abused and what to do, how to get help, how it has affected and affected our community. You know, this epidemic has affected our nation. And she talked about advocacy, getting help, seeking help, getting a plan, journaling, so many great tips and tools, nuggets that she has given us. Please, where she said. And if you know someone that is going through this, she gave us instruction on what to do in assisting them. So I thank you again, Star M. Holmes' word, because we all know who life you just saved, who life you just changed, who heart you just touched. And so I thank you again for being on the show. Well, listening audience, I'm at that time. You know that time. I just don't like this time. It's the time where God will let you, as always, be encouraged, be inspired, be motivated. Continue to use your voice to change lives, to empower, to uplift, to motivate, to inspire. Speak life into someone. Speak life over yourself. In the time in which we live in, we're hearing so many negative things. Open your mouth and to speak and to paint on the canvas of someone's life and our own. So as we go out today and do all the wonderful things that we have to do, continue to know and to understand that you are a change agent, that someone needs what you have. Don't be afraid. Open your mouth and share. Again, I thank you for listening to the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Radio. Also, it will reshare the show on KDOM Broadcast Network. Yes, I'm so happy. Woo, we're syndicated. Yes, yes. I can hear LaTanya, Arthur LaTanya Boyd, which is my coach, going, woo, woo. I can hear her. So I'm excited. So it will be resharing. You want to catch the reshare. Again, listening audience, I love you. And until next time, continue to have a phenomenal day.